May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask, and not obtain? Hymn 964.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, and the first 10 verses in chapter 2. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and part of chapter 2. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph and Ephrathite. And he had two wives, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide for ever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves with bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come before thee in prayer, and Lord, having read the prayer of Hannah, the two prayers, O Lord, we seek that same inditer, that same spirit of prayer and of supplication. And, O Lord, we seek it not only in this public way, but for each here. O Lord, are there not those here that have that in their hearts and in their lives, that out of the abundance of which would fill many petitions? But, O Lord, do grant that we might have those petitions to make before thee. O Lord, do remember us as we gather this evening. We thank thee for the throne of grace. We thank thee for the mercy seat. We thank thee for the precious blood that is sprinkled upon it, and the boldness with which we are exhorted to come, and that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And, O Lord, we not only would bless thee for the privilege of the path of prayer, but beseech thee for the grace that we might walk in that path, and that we might be of those who come like Hannah with thanksgiving and praise unto thee. O Lord, we do desire a true spirit of worship here this evening. Our Lord, we would be mindful we come before the God of heaven and of earth, and that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And Lord, if there are any of us here that have got into a way of just coming to a service and coming to an evening service and coming to the chapel, O Lord, do make it known to us, impress upon us that we come into the presence of the true and the living God. And Lord, we do seek that, as thou art to be had in reverence, that it might be so with us. Thou hast promised to be where two or three are gathered together in thy name. And Lord, we do gather in thy name. We thank thee for the precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, rejoicing at the reason for that name. Lord, we have heard of the name given to Hannah's son Samuel, asked of God. And Lord, we think of thy dear name, a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, for he shall save his people from their sins. And O Lord, do remember those here that feel very painfully that they are sinners. They have besetting sins. They have sins that come again and again, sins that are too strong for them, a wicked heart that is so deceitful. And O Lord, such weak resistance, and so easy deceived, and so easy following a path that brings for sorrow and grief. And O Lord, to whom can we go? Lord, thou art the Saviour of sinners. O save us from our sins, not only blotting them out, not only shedding thy precious blood, but that thou hast delivered us from the power and dominion of sin, and that we might be sanctified and made meet for the Master's use, and be given a daily realization that sin shall not have dominion over us, for we are not under the law but under grace. O Lord, we do seek help for each here that does struggle with the corruptions of their own heart, that feel that the world, the flesh, Satan is a mighty enemy and adversary to them. And O Lord, we do see that thou hast look upon such, and thou who understandest the groanings and sorrows and the pourings out of the hearts, would be pleased to appear. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art able to come in a moment, subdue our iniquities and sins, send the devil away, and bring about peace and pardon in our souls, and take away the love of sinning, and bring about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. O Lord, do remember those that struggle and labour under the law to obtain peace in a way they never shall. And O be pleased through the gospel to grant them a deliverance from that labour and that toil that brings only sorrow and disappointment. O Lord, thou hast said what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And O Lord, we do seek that that might be so in our lives, and that we might be of those then that walk after the Spirit, and not after the flesh. O Lord, do grant us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, do be pleased to bless this cause of truth. Lord, thou hast been pleased to do so, and we have rejoiced to hear of one again hoping to put thee on in open profession, and we do thank thee for her, and we do pray that thou hast maintained that peace and love, especially through those times of open profession, but Lord, all the way through life's journey, may thou be sweet and precious to the souls of thy people. And Lord, those who have long made a profession here, may as each one is added to the visible church, Lord, may there be a revisiting when they first joined the church, when they first were tremblingly and fearingly spoke what they had handled and tasted and felt of thy goodness, and when they ventured then in front of all people to walk in a way proclaiming thee as their God and their Saviour. O Lord, do be pleased to freshen and revisit each soul that knows thee, that it might be again to them a sweet and a sacred and a blessed time. And we do pray also that the bringing forth of one might be a cause of exercise in another. O Lord, it will not be the first time that thou hast been pleased to do this. And O Lord, we do pray that it might be so in the hearts of those here, that prayer before thee, the pouring out of their hearts before thee, and Lord, thou who dost know these things, might bring that to the light and convey to them this evening that thou dost know all about what is going on in their hearts. And O Lord, we do pray that thy people who are silent that should speak might speak, and that those that speak might be given those words that shall be truly edifying and blessed to those round about them. We especially do seek of thee that help in the ministry this evening, to realize that word amongst us. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. O Lord, do give the word this evening. Lord, do give it. Make me the channel, the instrument, but do grant that the word might be received. Thou hast said, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And I do grant that that channel might be realized this evening. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast be with thy people in affliction, and do sanctify and make these things work for good. We know of many dear friends that are in very deep paths, whether themselves or their loved ones, and Lord, those also in bereavement. O Lord, comfort their hearts, whether it be bereavement that had been expected, or especially where it has been unexpected. And Lord, where it has been the young as well as the elderly, O Lord, do be pleased to sanctify these things, and may it be an occasion when thy grace is much manifested and received and sufficient. Remember thou hast said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And O Lord, we do seek that help for those that walk this path. Truly we may say with the hymn writer that plagues and deaths around us fly, but till he bids we cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And we seek, Lord, to be submissive to thy will in all things. O Lord, do grant us grace for that. We must confess, Lord, at times there is much wrestling and much striving and much realization that we are not in submission to thy will, and we do feel to need that grace very often. O Lord, do be pleased also to raise up from those times of darkness and sorrow times of joy Thou didst say, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. O Lord, is their soul here, and their desire is, Lord, grant another visit, that I might see thee again. O Lord, those that know what the hymn writer says, my heart will move at thy command, but without it, Lord, how lumpish and dry and hard it is. And so, Lord, we do cry unto thee for that power of the gospel, that the apostle was not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, we know we come to the right place. Nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, thou art sovereign. In thy time and way, thou wilt turn the captivity of thy dear people. O Lord, help us this evening. Help us in our worship. Lord, do remember those who may feel like the captives at Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And Lord, there might be those here as well that have long trod that path, but now can sing the Lord's song. And Lord, do help us to join with them. And those, Lord, that long for that time, may they also have that. Who can tell that thou would yet visit them as well? O Lord, we would wait upon thee in thy word. Lord, speak to us through it. O Lord, magnify thy name in our midst. We do thank thee for the provision of the dear Lamb of God, and we do pray thy blessing on the declaration of the gospel of the grace of God. O Lord, hear prayer for this our guilty land. We pray for those in authority over us. We give thanks, Lord, for the preserving of a life and bringing forth of the royal prince. We do pray thy blessing upon them as a family. And Lord, may they know thy saving grace. Lord, thou hast said not any noble, but not many. But Lord, we do pray as thou hast bid us for those in authority over us. And we do seek thy blessing and thy care over them. O Lord, we pray for a real spiritual revival in our land. Lord, as it has been so marked, and more so even of late, how averse men are unto the gospel, how seldom they would ever turn in to the places of worship, not just our own denomination, but where'er thy truth is set forth. And O Lord, we pray for a day when we might really notice the difference, when there are those that are constrained to come and hear thy word. Bless those round about in the town of Swavesey here, and work savingly in the hearts of those. Some of those will be known to the congregation here and others not. But may there be those that come in as strangers or strangers to the truth, and brought to be dear beloved brethren. So, Lord, we do seek that thy work might appear, that thou hast get to thyself honour and glory in the salvation of sinners. Oh, we do beg of thee for grace and help to preach thy word this evening, and a hearing ear to each one. Bless the hymns that are given out. We thank thee where there is the flowing together. Lord, we have begun with prayer in the hymn and in the reading. O Lord, do bless us as we continue in this service. We ask, pleading the precious name and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. Hymn 385.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. I want to make four observations, firstly, before coming to the text and how it naturally opens up in the three parts of it. And the first is the contrast between the two prayers of Hannah. We've had two hymns this evening on prayer, and the hymn you've just sung speaks of the pouring out of the soul before God. And we have the first prayer of Hannah, and she describes it that she is a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And she says, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. That was her first prayer. The trial that she was in, the deep sorrow, the long-running sorrow and grief. And it brought her this time to prayer and to describe it like this and how she was like this. But then we have our text that is in Hannah's prayer as well, her second prayer. The chapter 2 begins, and Hannah prayed and said. And the very first words are so different. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Two prayers, but very, very different prayers. And yet, they are brought about from the same circumstance. One is a prayer of supplication and great need. The other is a prayer of thanksgiving and praise to God. We can hardly have a greater contrast than what is here. And I bring this before you. Do we know those times of prayer? And do we know times of contrast in prayer like this? When prayer is used at one time in supplication, in pouring out, in sorrow, in grief, and another time it is gone back to prayer, but it is praise, it is thanksgiving. It's a very different way of prayer, and yet it's still prayer. And it's still both of them were out of the abundance of the heart. One was the complaint, and the other was the praise. What do we know of those two sides of prayer? May we know the blessedness of the second part here with Hannah, where our text is. The second point I wish to make is the very clear link that is between a providential trial and spiritual blessing. Hannah's trial was a providential one. She couldn't have children, and she had an adversary. It was aggravated to her as a long-running trial. But when she comes, and in that first place, what we have is her vow, a very clear asking for this providential blessing, but also a promising of the Lord, if this should be fulfilled, this is what she would do. And yet when that is answered in the second chapter here, you don't hear of Samuel's name. She is not rejoicing in the gift that is given. She's not rejoicing in the providential thing itself, but in what the Lord has done for her, how he has appeared for her, how he has delivered her from her adversary, how he has really blessed her in her soul. And there's a going from the providential thing to almost completely losing sight of the providential thing. She has her God. She has a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, and one that appeared for her and delivered her. And what had been revealed to her through that of her Saviour and of the, she says in the very first verse, before she's hardly said anything, that my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. That's what it led to. It led to the salvation of the Lord. You know, the Lord has said that in the world you shall have tribulation. And the apostles emphasized it, strengthening the disciples, saying you must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. And that tribulation is not just by chance for each one of the people of God. It's appointed, it's ordered for them, but it's used for them to bring them to the Saviour, bring them to prayer, bring them to know his salvation, bring them to know him. Now, what one uses in one case, he may use a completely different thing in another case. And we may look at this a bit later, but I want to really think of this point first, is the link between providence and grace and the blessings of the soul. And it's important to note this, because sometimes Satan can get in and he says, that prayer you had answered and the Lord appeared, that was just providence. That's not a blessing for your soul. But the two go together. And the devil's a liar, and he always will be. And he always try and rob the people of the blessings that the Lord gives them. We know that all things, not just, we might say, spiritual things work together for good, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So when we have Lazarus sick and dead, when we have the widow of Nain's son that is dead, when we have the Canaanitish woman and her daughter that's sick, and the man that has his son thrown into the fire and into the water, and the mad Gadarene that no man could tame, and out of them all the Lord blesses them with the knowledge of himself, appears for them in those very things. And what Hannah could see, the Lord used this to bless her soul and to reveal himself and his dealings and his ways with the sons of men to her. And what the Lord revealed to Hannah, even though we may not walk in exactly the same path and certainly may not have the same trials, yet what she speaks of and what she knows and has been shown of the Lord may be applied to all of the people of God. And so the other points I want to make is the two characters that are mentioned in our text. Because if we are to look at a verse that says that he will keep the feet of his saints and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, we want to know, who are these saints? Who are these that are described as wicked? If we are to take any comfort or any help from a promise that the feet of saints will be kept, we need to know who they are. And with the wicked as well, if they are to be silent in darkness, who are they? Now, some would say, the Roman Catholic Church would say, with the saints, they're those that have died, and they've done good things on earth, and we can canonize them and pray to them in heaven. But the Scriptures has a very, very different view of the saints. The very last line, so second last line of the hymn you've just sung, with all thy saints I'll then agree, God has been merciful to me. And of course the saints of God are the people of God. We would draw your attention to how Paul puts it, especially in Romans, when he writes to the Roman church. He says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. A saint is one that's loved of God. I love thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Those that are called of God. We read in Revelation, they that are with him are those that are called and chosen and faithful. Those that were given by the Father to the Son to redeem and are made known in this life as the Lord's people. We have also in the 8th chapter of Romans the intercession that is made for the saints, the Holy Spirit working this for them. And he that searcheth, again we come into prayer, and we thinking of Hannah and her prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And her voice was not heard, it was her heart, she spoke in her heart. But he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession who for the saints, according to the will of God. And so we also have the picture that is given of the churches, the need of the saints. They're poor sinners, they're poor men and women that need natural help just as much as any. And so in chapter 12 in Romans, he says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And when the apostle writes to the Corinthian church, he speaks of them as the churches of the saints. The saints are those that are sinners. They're sinners called by God's grace and beloved of God. We think of the differences that are set before us in the Epistle of Jude. And again, in the very first introduction to that epistle, and he speaks of those that are to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Delivered to the church of God, delivered to the people of God, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be clear on that. A saint is not a perfect person, they're a sinner, but a sinner that's called to see all that they need in a precious Christ. Those that are brought to pray, those that are brought to believe. And so we have the definition of a saint. But then what about the wicked? What is said concerning the wicked? We have in the Psalms that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. In other words, the wicked are those that forget God. In Psalm 10, it speaks that the wicked, through the pride of his heart, will not seek unto God. Their language is, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And that beautiful Psalm 119, that speaks so much of the Word of God, the statutes of God, the testimonies of God. He says of the wicked that salvation is far from the wicked, because they seek not thy statutes. And you have a picture of people that don't want the statutes, the Word of God, they don't want prayer, they don't want God himself, The desires depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. A picture of the wicked in this life that have no desire after God, but really hate him and his people. The Lord said concerning his people, the Lord's people, I have given them thy word, and the world have hated them. A great contrast between the saints and the wicked. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he prays that they might be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. Another evidence of the wicked. They do not know God. They have not faith. They cannot see him who cannot be seen, and so don't seek after him. God is not a reality to them at all. And yet then in our text, we have these two. We have the saints and the wicked. Is there any other class of people? There isn't, is there? No, we all come into this world, and as far as outward is to be seen, we are all wicked. The eyes of the Lord, he knows those that are his, and he knows whom he will quicken. But until the Lord makes that change and that different outwardly, we go astray from the womb, speaking lies. No man seeketh after God. You read in the Genesis that then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And that certainly was the case with Saul of Tarsus. The mark that was given to Ananias was, behold, he prayeth. And yet he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees prayed much, but not the prayer out of the heart, like the publican, God be merciful to me, sinner. Don't be deceived by prayer and prayer. We made the distinction in our first two remarks, the contrast between the two prayers, that they were both heartfelt, squeezed out prayer. Formal prayer will not save a soul. However right and good it is to have set times of prayer, set times of family worship, I'd encourage you to do it. But never think that that sort of prayer is that which is to bring the answers and blessings from God. Our hearts, we shrink from trouble, we shrink from trial, we shrink from those things that will squeeze prayer from us. And yet, how many of the Lord's dear people can say with the psalmist, it was good for me that I was afflicted, or this trial or this trouble, or say with Hezekiah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. The Lord knows how, and sometimes it need not be. Sometimes we fear, we think, with such a hard heart, nothing will move it. What does the Lord have to do to soften and to move our hearts? Very often I have proved it so. It has been maybe a series of things that have happened that have left me hard and rebellious and kicking against the Lord. And then the Lord's added one thing that's been a blessing, and he's just melted and softened my heart down in a moment. Law and terrors do but harden. All the while they work alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. But whatever the way the Lord uses, he aims at the heart. And he deals with the heart. And that's what we have here. That may we realize there's no two places. There's either a saint or the wicked. There's either the Lord's people or not the Lord's people. There's either a praying people or a people that have no contact with their God whatsoever. A people that seek after the Lord and a people that don't seek after the Lord. May we ask ourselves, where do we stand? Are we one of those indifferent ones that think, well, I've never really considered whether I'm one of God's people or not. But I don't think I'm bad enough to go to hell or bad enough to be amongst the wicked. There's no middle way. There's either a soul saved by grace, a saint by God's grace, or one that shall descend into the pit, unsaved, lost, and damned for eternity. May we never be indifferent as to the condition of our soul and to the two places, a heaven and a hell, and no other place. I want to look then at the words of our text and divide it into the three points it just naturally falls into. Firstly, the keeping of the feet of his saints. Secondly, what is said concerning the wicked, that they shall be silent in darkness. And then thirdly, the secret of the difference between the two, for by strength shall no man prevail. Firstly, he will keep the feet of his saints. Now what a precious promise that is. But Hannah has come to that by personal persuasion. What does it mean? All of God's people know that in their hearts that there's much goes on they would not want let out. Some of the Lord's servants have prayed in a way that the Lord would keep the lid on, or that the Lord would keep what goes on within from breaking out. Remember when Peter objected to the Lord washing his feet, the Lord said, "If I wash thee not, then thou hast no part with me." So then he wanted everything washed. But the Lord said, no, only the feet are needed. Well, our text tells us that the Lord will keep the feet of his saints. He will wash their feet. He will deal with them when they walk in wrong ways. But also he will keep them from many wrong ways and evil ways. You might say, well, how did Hannah know this? How did she know of this? Well, before we think about Hannah, we think about a contrast right at the beginning with Cain and Abel. And those two, they went to worship, and Cain, he brought of the fruits of the field, and Abel, he brought of the firstling of his flock, a blood offering. And we read that God had respect unto Abel's offering, but not unto Cain's. Set his approval on it. That's the offering that is needed. That shows the Saviour. That shows the way of redemption. Blood, not an offering without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But how did Cain react? How he rose up, pride injured, hurt. The Lord said, if thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? If thou not take notice of this, change thy offering. Offer what is directed. Offer what points to the Saviour. This way is set before you. But the pride of his heart takes over. The Lord warns him. He said, sin lieth at the door. But Cain, he takes no heed. and he slays his brother because of the enmity in his heart, because the Lord had showed favour to his brother but not to him. We think of the same case with Ahithophel. He'd walked into council, had sweet counsel with David. They'd walked to the house of God together. And his counsel, even in that day when he was counseling Absalom, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. But when his counsel was not taken, he went out and he hung himself. He couldn't stand to be rebuffed in that way, that someone else's counsel should be taken. And how many times in life is that? Now, our Lord warned, when you go into an assembly and a feast and you're bidden, you take the lowest room. And then when the man that bade you come, he said, come up higher, but don't take the top room, because then with shame you have to take the lower place when someone better comes. But all the way through life we have these things, where one will be blessed in one way, and we think, if only I had that blessing, I'm not blessed in that way. If we're a minister and the Lord blesses another person's ministry but not yours, Lord, why do I want my ministry blessed instead of his? And you know, the old heart is always there to rise up in that way. We can always think, and sometimes it takes us completely by surprise. You know, those that are afflicted and afflicted all their lives, there'll be those times that arise up, they see someone healthy and strong and think, why can't I walk? Why can't I have that strength to do that? And then their loved ones that are with them. I always remember one time, I know my own dear wife, her own weakness is a great trial to her. I was driving to a preaching engagement and local to home to us, and as we're just driving along, I saw this lady out with her husband pruning a tree next to the road, and as quick as lightning it came into my heart, oh Lord, why can't my wife do that? Why can't she have strength to come out in the garden and to work with me in the garden? Why is she so weak? And it comes from the pit, and it comes from the heart, but it rises up like that. And you know, we all have those things at times, and they'll rise up, and except by God's grace and mercy, they go a step further than in our thought. And it's a mercy if it's caught by the Lord in our thought and turn into prayer and into confession. And I believe this is what Hannah knew. Not just 1 year, but year after year. She not only had not got children, but she was aggravated in that. And yet did she act like Abel? She still went up to the sacrifices. Did it mean that it didn't hurt? It didn't make her cry and didn't make her fret? Yes, it did. But how much she was kept from, how much she was delivered from in that trial. You might think sometimes in our trials, yes, I have dealt so ashamedly with them. I've thought such wrong things, and sometimes I have said wrong things and walked in wrong things. But when the Lord shows us what we could have been left to and could have done and could have walked in, then we see that the Lord will keep the feet of his saints. And the Lord may show you times in your life, yes, but by the grace of God, you could have been that one that rose up. You could have been that one that in a fit of anger injured someone, took someone's life. And so she knew that. The trials that the Lord's people go through, they must have trials, they must have tribulation, but as if the Lord will say this, that trial will only go as far as what I decreed. It won't destroy you. I won't permit that trial to be such that the devil will take such a handle of it, he'll destroy you underneath it. The tribulations and trials in this life of the people of God are for really one aim and one aim only. That is to bring them to the Saviour and to glorify his name in those trials. Dear Naomi, you wouldn't think she'd be much a recommendation to one of the heathens, one from the children of Moab, but the Lord ordered it so. Though she felt the Lord had dealt bitterly with her, but though she felt that, she still was going to go back to Israel. And the message that she gave to Ruth was such that Ruth wanted to be with her, wanted to the same God, and to live and to die in that same place where she was. It certainly wasn't a message, well, I don't want this God. If this God deals with me like this and makes us all widows, that wasn't the message that Ruth got. The Lord had kept Naomi's feet. He'd kept Hannah's feet. And yet, though their feet had been kept, the trials had been most keenly felt and groaned under. And this applies for all of the tribulation, path and way. You might say, well, what about David then? The Lord didn't keep his feet, did he? Didn't he commit adultery and murder? You know, in David's life, in all that he went through, that's the only thing that is marked out in Scripture as saying that it was only in that point he did not do according to the mind of the Lord. And many other things he was chastened for and dealt with. But even in that, the Lord kept him from deep despair. He kept him from going completely back. And he gave him repentance, he gave him restoring, he sent Nathan, and also most solemnly, the sword never departed from his house. A chastened soul all his days, and a real reminder, and so that others that walk that path would never despair, because that the Lord was merciful and gracious and gave repentance and restored him again. Of course, from that union with Bathsheba came Solomon and the line to Christ. The mysteries of God's providence, the mysteries of his will, we must leave with the Lord. But for us, the Lord has shown us what is good, and our path should be to seek to walk in the ways of the Lord. But for a soul, and sometimes we may not know which way to go or how to order our footsteps. And I really believe that if we have truly committed our way unto the Lord and trusted him, the Lord will order our footsteps by his word. He won't permit us to make serious errors in life's journey when we are trusting to him and looking to him. And this promise, especially when we would make profession in his name and venture, one of the common temptations is, yeah, but you make a profession, but what of your evil heart? What if you bring a reproach upon the name of the Lord? What if you do something wrong? What if you walk in the wrong way? If a soul is tender in that way, then this word is a precious word. You won't keep your feet. The Lord will. He will keep the feet of his saints. And it is a precious truth that Hannah realized here, and a precious truth you and I need to realize. He will keep the feet of his saints. I want to then look at the second, the wicked. The wicked shall be silent in darkness. Yes, we read of that in outer darkness, beyond this world, they shall be cast out from God's presence. Weeping and wailing, yes, but no prayer. But even in this life, they cry not when he binds them. They are in darkness, they are in ignorance. Paul's commission was to bring the people from darkness to light, from idols to the living God. And of course, with Saul of Tarsus, we mentioned before, the very difference that marked from being as the wicked fighting against the Lord and as called as a saint was the giving of prayer. The silence was broken, but the wicked are silent. We mentioned about the description of the wicked. They call not on the Lord. They are silent. There's nothing ascends up to heaven. No sweet savour, no cry, no prayer ascends into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. They are wicked, shall be silent in darkness. The most solemn thing to be amongst the wicked and those that do not call upon the Lord. Well, I want to look at the last point here, which gives us the reason why. And it is, for by strength shall no man prevail. In other words, the keeping of the saints is not by their strength at all. And those that are the wicked, for the want of the strength and the blessing of the Lord, remain exactly as they are. Salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah says. And what is said of the watchman, watchman, what of the night? We might think we will give all diligence to watch and watch out for the enemy and watch out over our spirit. But if we trust in that, what of the night? What when we can't see? What about that? One of the most sacred things with the Lord's dealings with his people is when they are brought to realize the Lord has seen a matter a long way before they've ever got to it. And the Lord's prepared them for it. The Lord's directed their footsteps because he has seen what we did not see. Those of you who might puzzle sometimes when we go on our motorway system, the smart system, and reduce you down to 40 mile an hour for a long while. You go a long while and you see no accident at all, and suddenly it's all nice again, and you say it's wolf wolf, there's no trouble at all. Well, the reason is we can only see as far as the horizon. On the cameras with the motorway system, they can see all the way around that M25, they can see 15 miles ahead. Some cars had an accident. There's a recovery chap getting it off the road. So 15 miles back, they start to hold the traffic back. So when you get to where that accident was and when you get to where they were hauling the thing off, there's nothing there. Rightly so, because they've kept you back and they've got it out of the way. That's how our whole motorway system works now. But the Lord deals with that. He sees what we do not see. And he keeps us back. And he orders our footsteps. And sometimes we may never see and never know. If we had a blind person, we've got a couple in Cranbrook. And if we were leading them by the hand down a footpath that had potholes in it, and their foot stumbled in that pothole, and as it stumbled in it, you quickly grabbed hold of their arm. After they got you got them to the home, they say, I'm so thankful for you as a guide. You stopped me from falling over those several times I stumbled in that pothole. But if you had a better guide who saw the holes and just skillfully guided the blind man around them, he'd get home. He said, "Well, that's all right. There's no dangers there. I never stumbled at all." But he didn't know. There'd been the holes there, but he'd been guided around every one of them. And it is a happy soul that can realize, for every one thing you know the Lord's delivered you from, there are probably 10 that you do not know, and the Lord has kept your feet and guided you from it. Never let there to be a temptation meet with the opportunity or those circumstances so that you fall into those things. It is not the strength of us, but the Lord. How many times the Lord ordered it like that? With Gideon, he brought down his army so that it was just 300 men, so that it should be that he had the glory and not man. With Samson, Samson might have thought, "This is all my strength and my might." But the Lord ordered it, that he ended up in the prison, and with his eyes put out, then he knew where that strength was. And yet the Lord gave him that strength again. But we are to know as well that it is the Lord's strength and the Lord's keeping and the Lord's help. If any get to heaven, if any are saved, it is by the Lord's hand. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. 'Tis must be his intercession, his precious blood, his keeping. May we be souls that commit the keeping of their souls unto him that is a faithful creator. You have those beautiful psalms like the Traveller's Psalm 121 of the Lord keeping his people, but not only their bodies, but keeping of their souls, keeping from error, keeping from false doctrine, keeping from a false spirit, keeping from a false way, the whole of our lives. The Lord says in John 10, of his people that they are in his hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a keeper we have in the Lord. And yet it is through life's journey, with all the trials and difficulties, surrounded by enemies, surrounded by adversaries, surrounded by those that will stir up and provoke up our old nature and our old spirit, all of those situations. And yet the crown, the secret of that endurance is the Lord. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. And the only reason why they will, you and I will, if we the Lord's people endure, is by his grace and by his keeping and by his might. Hannah had been brought through what would have been a very long, fiery trial. And no doubt she could look back at many times that she could have done harm to that other wife. She could have done many things, spoke many things. And yet the Lord had kept her and brought her to this time of blessing and rejoicing and praise, and not allowed her to fall and walk the path that many had walked. For by strength shall no man prevail. The Apostle Paul knew this when he had the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He prayed 3 times, "Lord, take this away. It might be one of you here, take this away. I can't stand this trial. I can't walk with this. It's a messenger of Satan. It stirs up my old nature and it stirs up all the evil within me, and whatever the thing is in an outward way, it works hell within my soul." The Lord said to Paul, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So did Paul say, "Lord, I don't agree with your choice. I'd rather have the thorn taken away. He doesn't. He says, "I'd much rather then glory in my infirmity, that the grace of God might be shown in me. When I am weak, then am I strong." And dear Hannah, she knew. And she says, "For by strength shall no man prevail." Is that really, that last part of our text, the interpreter for your trial, for your path? You say, "The Lord, He weakened my strength in the way." Why? "For by strength shall no man prevail." Grace is sufficient. The grace of the Lord. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The people of God are a blood-bought people. The Lord has shed His precious blood for them. And that path that the Lord had to walk in all its sufferings was ordained of His Father. He said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." That is how each one of the Lord's dear people were redeemed. The Lord's submission to the path of suffering, the cross, death, and rising again. The Lord says with His dear people, they also must take up the cross and follow Him. Oh, the Lord, give us grace to do so, that we might say, "Even so, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." May the Lord then speak to us through Hannah's prayer and bless us as He did her. "He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail." Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker will preach on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 170. What a doleful voice I hear. What a garden scene is there. What a frightful, ghastly flood. Jesus weltering in His blood. Hymn 170.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.